Cook and Katarina and Gabriel and Martin, her husband. They are here this morning too. So it's so good to have them here. Lisa usually comes and gives this little presentation before, update about our family. Today I'm giving her a break. I'm going to be here. She has to put up a lot with a lot already with me. So I'm going to give her a break today. But it's so good. 20 plus years that we have been partners with this church. And for your faithfulness and your support and your friendship, we say thanks. We say thanks for it. And for your prayers, we really believe that we can go as far as the prayers of the saints take us. So if you're going to hear anything about expansion this morning here about of the ministry, it is because you pray for us. You have been praying for us for all these years, and we appreciate those prayer warriors that are there praying for us. I have a presentation that I'm going to preach today with Steve and Peter. So they're my partners in preaching. I get partners wherever I go, Peter and Steve. So you are my partners this morning. If anything goes wrong, it's my fault, okay? Not theirs. So thank you. Thank you. So Steve, so there you go. And I'm gonna explain to you why I usually put a picture of our family there, but our family is here today. So I decided not to, except for Danny, actually. Danny's not here. Danny is serving at Coastline Church this morning, playing with the worship. So he's not here. But I put a globe there. You're going to understand at the end why I'm putting there. So that's us with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, Mission Global, the Missions Division of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. We have been with the POC for the last, since we went. And the next slide shows our mission. And our mission hasn't changed either. We are there. We have gone to help equip the church to be an effective agent of transformation in the lives of individuals, in communities, and in society. So that's how we describe our mission. And then that mission has turned into our ministry in the next slide. And our ministry is pretty much the core of our ministry is discipleship. And I'm going to tell you more about discipleship as we go. But and we believe the church is God's main agent, the principal agent for discipleship to happen, not only of individuals, but also of communities and society. The church is God's plan for that. So, our two focus there in terms of discipleship, community development, we have been working in communities and transformation of society. We have been working with the previous generations, millennials and younger, to equip them through their vocation for the transformation of society. So I have some pictures there also, Steve. The first part is community development, and I mixed a few pictures there of some of the ministries that we have been engaged in. The next slide. And one of them, so there are different things happening in Brazil. We started in Brazil, and in terms of community development, community transformation. And our project starts at Vila Feliz. You see that gym on the top there. That's Vila Feliz. That's Vila Feliz as it has grown, because used to be just we start to purchase land. We went to that community, actually, with a local church. We always work through the church, a Brazilian church. And they had started something there, and we went to that community, and we start to ask what they, how we could serve them. And the parents start to say to us, provide some things for our kids to do, because our kids don't have anything to do in this community. The other thing that we had heard in that community from the parents and the locals was that the average age for a boy to die if he stayed in that community, Vila Feliz, the average age for a boy to die was 17 years old. So that really caught our hearts. We started to talk to the parents and said, how can we help you? And they said, start something for kids. So we started projects. Of course, in Brazil, if you're going to start project with kids, the first one has to be soccer. So we started the soccer project in Brazil for the kids. Amanda, actually a girl, who we started project. The kids start to come, and they start to grow. But then we start the ballet for the kids, the after-school programs, jiu-jitsu. So many other programs start to come. Even the autism project, the picture in the corner there on the my right here, are the newest project, which is for kids with autism. So a lot of programs have started, and then that ministry expanded to CAGI, which is the Center for Assistance and Community Development. It became national. We are in 7 different states in Brazil with projects for kids and families. And it started to become even international because they start to access our training in Portuguese, in Mozambique, and then HITA. I start to some projects with women, with girls in Mozambique. And so it has been going around. And I just want to say, Vila Feliz, that community that I mentioned about boys dying at 17, I just came back from Brazil 3 weeks ago. And I was so glad to hear Pastor Roberto, he's the pastor there now. He was saying, Nelson, we are going as missionaries to Portugal. We are sent from the church to Portugal as missionaries. And the leadership that's going to stay in the church are the boys that you guys saw as 10 years old and 11 years old. They have grown to be leaders in the church, and now they're going to become the pastors of that church where that meets in that gym right there. So that's one story. There's so many stories. One story of your partnership with us, of God's faithfulness, of how God can transform. We cannot. We can disciple, but we cannot transform. God does the transformation as His word, His truth, starts to come into the fabrics of the lives of individuals and communities and the whole society. God's word and truth, they are powerful to transform. And that's what God has been doing. So it's God, that's God's work. And He keeps expanding. So the other side is transformation of society. That's the other focus of our ministry. And that's the work with younger generation, millennials and younger, equipping them with a biblical worldview. And this idea of that the biblical worldview, God's truth transforms. So the work that they have, actually the next slide, Steve, that I put there, also has some pictures of some of the things we have been doing. One of them, the most recent one, is the Gospel at Work. It's a study guide, a 10-week study guide, the implications of the gospel in your vocation work. And that, Lisa and I and another friend from Brazil, Jorge, we organized that. The DNA published less than a year ago. And that's the part of our ministry, transformation of society. How we say to them, an average person will spend 70,000 to 80,000 hours of their lives working at work. So God must have a plan for that, right? So God, the truth of the God, the truth of the gospel, it not only transforms us as individuals, but the truth of God is so powerful that it transforms communities. It can build nations. Actually, the group that you have there, you call them the Kingdomizers. That was the beginning of the group, actually. Years ago, it has grown. But we call them the Kingdomizers. And if you ask the Kingdomizers, what are you doing in Brazil? They say, we are building a nation. Because they believe that God's truth brought to the fabrics of society. And we talk about a society with so much happening these days, like the social indicators in Brazil, violence. I don't know how many of you heard about Rio less than a month ago and what happened in Rio, in the slums in Rio, and that situation, that it's all over Brazil, violence and gangs and drugs and so on and so forth. So they believe that God's truth can dislodge the lies that the enemy has planted in the fabrics of the community and can make that community flourish, because that's why God gave us His truth to us also. It's not only for us as individuals to flourish, but for our communities to flourish also. So that's some of the things, books, curriculums, online course, the training, the Kingdomizers. So all of that is going on as part of this call to equip the next generation with God's truth, the biblical worldview, so that through their lives and their vocation and their work, then they can become agents of transformation in Brazil, in the society where God has planted them. So next slide. So that's why we believe that the church is not only a body that's gathered, but is also scattered. It's gathered for worship and equipping as we are right now, right here. But during the week, it's scattered for service and for discipling nations. So in the next slide, That's a quotation from Darren Miller: if the church does not disciple the culture will disciple the church. Darren Miller is one of the co-founders of the Disciple Nations Alliance. We work with the Disciple Nations Alliance. I always say we are global workers with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Our operational platform is the Disciple Nations Alliance. It's an organization. It's the office is based in the U.S., but it's a global alliance of churches, organizations, individuals, leaders, pastors, with the idea that God's truth is powerful to transform not only individuals, but also communities and nations. And so I think it's the last slide that I put there. Yeah, you can actually go ahead and press. Sorry, go back. You can go back. It's missing that that globe that I put right there in the beginning. It was supposed to be right there. And it was supposed to be right there to show that our work that started in João Pessoa in Paraíba, in the northeastern part of Brazil, the easternmost point of the Americas, God expanded to Brazil to become national. Then we received a call to be based in Canada and help to catalyze that same movement in Canada. They start to access our courses in Mozambique, in Africa, so we are working in Africa now. And also this year, the POC created this new position and invited me to be the assistant director for missions in the Latin America and the Caribbean region. So God keeps expanding this ministry, and the core of it is discipleship. It's this idea that discipleship is not only about making people Christians, but it's also God's truth at the foundation of every Christian. And from that truth, we become agents of transformation in our marriages, in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our nation. So that's what God's truth is able to do. So thank you for your partnership with us in this ministry, in this call from God, really. We are just co-workers, as Paul the apostle would say, right? We are co-workers, co-laborers with God. It's God doing his work, it's God's mission. We join him in his mission. That's what we have heard the call, we obeyed. 2004 we went, our kids are still small, but we have seen God expanding. We have seen God blessing our family also, our kids. We see our kids serving God also with this idea of this call also to serve wherever God has positioned them. So thank you for your partnership, for your prayers, for your support, for being with us all these years. And we're not planning on stopping anytime soon, even though the years pass, right? And at some point, I mean, I have to come here and say we are moving, but not yet. So thank you for your partnership with that. And with that, my sermon this morning, I'm coming to the part of my sermon now. You here in the church, Christian Fellowship, just finished a series of sermons. Pastor Ralph has been preaching for the last three Sundays on the book of 2 Peter, the epistle of 2 Peter. And two Sundays ago, Pastor Ralph preached on guarding the truth. Guarding the truth. And that caught my attention. Guarding the truth. And you said, Pastor Ralph, and I quote, "We must be fully anchored in God's word." And that caught my attention because I love that. Which is coherent with the statement of faith in this church. If you go to your website and you look, every church has what we call a statement of faith, like a creed. And if you go to the statement of faith of this church, if you go to your website, the first statement in your statement of faith of Highway Christian Fellowship is this: we believe the Holy Scriptures to be the divinely breathed, infallible, inerrant, and authoritative Word of God. And it is so important that your statement of faith starts like that. The Word of God. It's important especially because we live in times when Christian leaders, if you talk to pastors in North America, in Canada, in the U.S., in Europe, really it's a global phenomenon. We talk about this crisis of discipleship. The Christian church is facing this crisis of discipleship. And one of the main causes for this crisis is this phenomenon that we call biblical illiteracy. We are talking about biblical illiteracy in many of our churches these days, which goes back to that statement about the Word of God, the Bible, right? And discipleship is, like I said, is the focus of our work with the Disciple Nations Alliance. And today I want to look at the transforming story of the Bible. I want to qualify it. It's the story, but it is a transforming story. I want to look with you at the transforming story of the Bible, to look at the plot that of that story, and how important it is for us as individuals to grow strong, and how important the Word of God is for not only us to grow strong, but to build whole societies. And the passage that I want to share with you to start with is Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And though most of us know that by heart, because that's the Lord's Prayer when the disciples come to Jesus and they ask Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." And Jesus teaches them this prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer. In verses 9 and 10, Jesus says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And there's another verse that I want you to keep in mind there, because you're going to come to it at the end. It's in Revelation, the last book of the Bible. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15 says, "The kingdom of the world has now become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever." Let's pray. Lord, we pray this morning that as we open your word, as we come to you, to your presence in this place, we pray that you will speak words of life, words of transformation, Lord, words that will make us not only think, but words that will change us in the areas where you know that we need change. So may your word come and sit deep in our hearts this morning. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let me start just saying this. The Bible is not only a religious book. Many have tried to categorize the Bible and put the Bible in that category. The Bible is a religious book. The Bible deals with the spiritual things and religious things, and the Bible is a religious book. But I want to say this morning, the Bible is also a book that builds nations. Nations that are strong, they are just, they are free. God gave us principles there. Vishal Mangalwadi is a friend of ours. He's from East India, and he has been with us in Brazil many times. He's considered the greatest thinker of theologian in East India these days. He says, "In the West, we have believed in a lie for the last 200 years, that the realm of the religious and the spiritual, including the Bible, belongs inside the church in a particular day of the week, and the church and the Bible have nothing to say or contribute to society at large the other days of the week." It's a lie that we have believed for almost 200 years now. And we have separated us from society. And they say, okay, our Bible applies to us when we're here on Sunday, to our individual lives. But when we leave those doors, in our society, in our communities, there are other principles, there are other truths that will dictate how our society lives. The Bible is the Word of God, that's how we call it. God's revelation given by Him to humanity. In the Bible, He establishes and He offers us these principles, millenary principles, for us not only to stand on them, but for us as individuals, as humans, our marriages, our families, our communities, for us and our societies to flourish. That's what God gave us in the Bible. I'm just reading the book of Deuteronomy again. Deuteronomy, second law. Moses is about the people of Israel they are at that point in history when they're going to enter the land that God had promised to Abraham. And Moses is repeating the Ten Commandments and the laws to the people. And as you go through the book of Deuteronomy, you can really see that Moses is, we are talking about a people that had been in Egypt for about 400 years. 300 of those 400 years had been slaves in Egypt. So now there is this people with a slave mentality of 300 years. And God tells Moses, you're going to bring my people out of Egypt, and I'm going to make them a great nation like I promised to Abraham. How do you make a people that has spent 300 years in slavery and has this slavery mentality, how do you make that group of people a great nation? And then Moses starts to give them God's decrees, God's commandments, God's word. What God had, the principles that God had established in his word, that's what was going to make that people, that bunch of slaves, a great nation, was the commands that God had given to Moses in their Bible at that time. They didn't have a Bible like this, of course, at that time. So the Bible is the word of God. And the Bible offers us this set of principles in the context of a story, the story of God in the Bible. It is a transforming story. In that story, the Bible sends us back to our origins in God at creation in the book of Genesis. And the Bible also looks at the end, sends us to the end of the story when all of God's purpose will be fulfilled, for humanity will be fulfilled. And consummated, that's the word that you use, consummation at the end. So that graphic, actually, if you go back to the previous graphic, Steve, I try to say this is the course of history. That's the Bible there. The Bible starts with the ultimate design. God created, I think creation, God creates us and the whole of creation. And there is this ultimate design for how things should work. And as the course of history goes, he calls us to work with him in the development of what he created, so that at the end, at consummation, his ultimate purposes will be fulfilled for us. So that's the story of the Bible. And in that story, if you go to your Bible to understand the story of God in the Bible, we need to look at the plot of that story. And it is given to us, the plot is given to us, is presented to us in the form of four major acts. And that's the next graphic now, Steve. So those are the four major acts of the story of God in the Bible. If you never read your Bible thinking about that framework, that's where the Bible is going. That's where the plot is going. Creation, fall, Genesis 3, redemption, what God did in Jesus, and consummation, he will fulfill his ultimate purposes in history. That's the plot of the story there. So it is interesting that it is through that plot that of the story that Jesus and his disciples saw all of human history. If you read the Gospels, if you read Jesus, if you read the apostles, they are using these glasses. They're looking at everything that's happening around them in the nation, in the society, in history at the time they're living. They're looking at everything through these glasses of these four major acts, the plot of the story of God in the Bible. So now, like every story, good story, every story really, God's story in the Bible has a name, has a title. Jesus and the disciples walked with him and who recorded for us, especially the four Gospels. If you go there, you're going to see that they have a name for that story. Jesus and the apostles called the story the Gospel of the Kingdom of God. If you go to Luke chapter 8, verse 1, or Matthew 4, 23, you're going to constantly see Jesus and the disciples talking about this Gospel of the Kingdom of God. Sometimes they say the Gospel of the Kingdom of Heavens. The Gospel is the word for good news, glad tidings, right, in Greek, the Gospel. But what about the Kingdom of God? What is this Kingdom of God that that gives title and name to this story. The kingdom of God is the government of God. Let's say as simple as this. The government of God, going back to the Lord's Prayer now, on earth as it is in heaven. God governing, God's government on earth as it is in heaven. The Bible is the story of God's government, God's rule coming to earth. He rules, he governs in heaven, and now he's going to bring his rule to earth. The earth that he created, all the creation that we see, his rule, he will rule over all, everything. And the Bible is the story of how God is going to bring his government from heaven to earth. That's why Jesus teaches us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God is bringing heaven and earth together. And that's the story of the Bible. So from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, the last chapter of the Bible, the Bible is telling us this story of how God is going to establish his kingdom on earth. So let's keep that framework in mind. Let's look at a couple principles that are given to us. Let's try to unpack a little bit of this plot of the kingdom of God coming to earth as it is in heaven. And I want to look basically quickly at creation and consummation, beginning and end with you. Okay, so if you go to Genesis 1 and 2, the beginning of the story, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Someone already read John 1:1 today here, right? It says, in the beginning was the Word, right? Jesus, right there, from creation, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he creates this incredible planet to sustain life. He fine-tunes all things so that this planet can sustain life. It was interesting that I was with Gabrielle and Martin. They live in Vancouver. They go to a church called The Way. And we went to their service 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, I think. And Chris Price, the pastor, was preaching. And he, in the middle of his preaching, he told this. For some reason, he went to there and talked about believing and not believing. And he talked about how atheists, everybody believes, everybody has faith in something. That's what he was saying, right? And this idea that God created this incredible planet and he fine-tuned this planet to sustain life. He said everybody believes in something. We believe that it was God who did that. In the beginning, in our story, in the beginning, God. For others, the beginning will be explained in some other way, but everybody has faith in something. Everybody has their version of miracles, he said. Like we believe in the virgin birth of Christ, of Jesus. They believe in the virgin birth of the universe, right? So it was interesting to see. We believe that life comes from life. They believe that life comes from non-life. And I thought that's interesting that everybody has faith in something. You have to believe, right? That has to support your whole story. And in our story, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Right? And more incredible than that, he creates us, humanity, to rule, to govern with him. He doesn't come to earth to govern. He's going to bring his kingdom through humanity that he creates and authorizes so that we would govern with him, under him, as we already sang this morning too, as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the king of this kingdom, but he creates us to rule and to govern with him. And this gives us meaning, and this gives us significance, this gives us purpose, this gives us responsibility. We have all that we need in this story that God gave to us in his word. We have all to be these representatives, these vice regents of God on earth as he brings his kingdom here. So when we look at Genesis 1 and 2, we see God's design, God's ultimate design for humanity. And in creation, God starts to establish his kingdom already, his government that he's going to do through us. This whole cosmic order that he creates operates according patterns. And we say the pillars of the kingdom of God, the patterns that God established are his truth, his goodness, his beauty. Everything is created with to be, to stand upon truth, goodness, beauty. And though that pattern comes from God himself, from who he is, his nature, his character. That's who God is, his truth, his goodness, his beauty. And that's the pattern that he creates all things. And he calls us to now be his agents to spread this pattern over all the earth, his kingdom, and the pillars of the kingdom coming to earth as it is in heaven. So there is a pattern, there is an ultimate design to be followed. And in following that design from God for humans, we as individuals flourish. We as communities flourish. We as nations will flourish according to God's plan. And it's interesting also that in that creation, Genesis 1:27 says that God created male and female in his own image. God created humanity in his image and likeness. What is the pattern? What is the pattern that God used to create us? The pattern that he used to create us, male and females, is himself. He is the pattern. He created us in his image and likeness. And that's, you go to every philosophy in the world. This is the highest possible view of what it is to be a human being. Created in God's image. That's the pattern. He is the pattern for our creation. We are not only a number. We are not one more mouth to be fed. We are not one more cog in the machine of the universe. That gives us identity. We are created in God's image. As also we used to say to the poor to the kids in the poor communities in Brazil, and we used this truth to bring transformation to them, because kids in poor communities coming from all kinds of broken situation, and you come to them to say, you are not an object of manipulation and abuse. You're not a subject of statistics and a number for government programs. That's not your identity. Your true identity, God created you in his image, is to be an agent with him to bring transformation, starting with your life, but also to your family, to your community. And that truth of the Bible, that simple truth of the Bible, starts to change the life of a kid. That simple truth of the Bible, the transforming story of the Bible, starts to change lives. Kids in poor communities are being changed by God's truth. And they're becoming agents of transformation. And they're becoming leaders of a church in Vila Feliz. We saw them as kids coming from all kinds of broken situations. And we watched God work in their lives and turn them from those kids in the favelas in Brazil with a destiny that was like their parents, pretty much collecting garbage to sell as recycling. They are now going to university. They're becoming lawyers. They become nutritionists. God has been transforming their lives. And there is one simple truth that can cause that transformation, that they are created in God's image. That God himself is the parent. Of course, we're going to come to redemption too, because there is fall and there is all kinds of things. But that's the truth of the Bible. One, and then in Genesis 1:28, God gives an order. First command in the Bible that God gives to humanity is in Genesis 1:28. We call it the cultural mandate. And it says, God says to them, fill the earth, multiply, have dominion, govern, rule over all that I have created. God gives that command there. So fill the earth with image bearers. We participate with God in having kids. One thing, one issue that we talk so much about in this society, people don't want to have kids anymore. But God says, multiply, have kids, because as we have kids, we are participating with God in the creation of image bearers of God. We are creating image bearers to spread His kingdom, His truth, His goodness, His beauty. That's why God, in His plan, He wants couples to have kids, so that we could participate with Him in bringing His kingdom to earth as it is in heaven. So I know it's an issue, especially with the new generation these days. And I mean, look at how much life costs. Look at the economy. Look at inflation. There's so many things that we can talk about that are barriers to having kids these days. But in God's economy, having kids is part of His plan, His ultimate design for us. I mean, I'm looking at a lot of you guys in the niche today. We are talking not about kids anymore, about grandchildren, actually, for most of us now, right, this morning. But anyway, this is part of God's ultimate design, that we have kids, and kids will become these agents to bring kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, too. So we are called to participate in bringing God's kingdom to earth as it is in heaven. The goal for us is not only to get to heaven, and a lot of us Christians think that that's the goal. The goal for us, listen this morning, the goal for us is not only to get to heaven, but also allowing heaven to get into us. And becoming agents of the kingdom of heaven to our communities, to our societies, now on earth. That's God's plan. The kingdom coming to earth as it is in heaven. So the church is the agent. The church is this body that God called to spread His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And we do that, the church does that, by proclaiming the salvation of individuals. We all need salvation. We are all sinners. Part of this story is Genesis 3. I showed you, right, creation, but there's fall also. We are all sinners. We need God. Right? We proclaim the salvation of individuals by the finished work of Christ on the cross. But also, we are called to be agents to expand the kingdom of God, the culture of the kingdom, His truth, His beauty, His goodness. In everything we do, not only on Sunday, but when you go to our work tomorrow morning, we are called, and God has positioned us where we are during the week so that more of His kingdom will come, His truth, His goodness, His justice, His beauty, through all the works that we do during the week. So with God, we are history makers. History is not only what we read in the books. History is what God is doing through us today also, so that His kingdom comes to earth as it is in heaven. And with God, we are history makers. We are history makers in our marriages. We are history makers in our families. We are history makers in our neighborhoods. We are history makers in our communities, in our nation. God calls us to work with Him. That's what that command says. And then, back to that plot of the story, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He will reign forever and ever. That's what it says in Revelation 11:15. So John, at the end, he has this vision of the future and the present, really, still yet. And he sees that the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of God and of His Christ. He sees that prayer that Jesus taught them, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. He sees that as the ultimate purpose being realized. So why is the gospel so important? Why is this gospel of the kingdom of God, the whole story of God in the Bible, why is this important? It is important because it transforms. It is important because it changes. It can change. It changed me. It can change you. It changed you. It can change anybody. And you are talking to your missionaries who work among poor communities, and we have seen the worst of the worst. We have seen kids being exploited by traffic, by drugs, by prostitution. We have seen the evil reaching out to that age to destroy. But we have also seen how God is able to transform, how God is able to redeem. And that's the story of so many kids that we could bring here to speak to you from Brazil. So this gospel is important because it transforms. It's the basis of our ministry in poor communities. And I want to, as I close this morning, I want to say to you, the kingdom of God is God's government on earth as it is in heaven. This is God's story in the Bible. Creation, fall, redemption, consummation. This is the gospel of the kingdom of God. And God invites everyone to enter and be part of that story. How does God do that? He does that through that part of the story that's central. There is fall, like I said. There is brokenness in our world. Genesis 3 is real. We all know our brokennesses. I know my shortcomings. We all know. But there is a center in that story that we call redemption. That God one day decided that what he created us for, his ultimate design, that was broken in the fall in Genesis 3, he decided that he was going to come as a redeemer. And he came in Jesus, and we just started the Advent season, right? He came in Jesus, and he died on that cross to pay the price for my sins and your sins, my brokenness and your brokenness, so that we could be, we could come back to his story, to history, really. So that's the central part. Only the door of redemption is able to bring us back to God after what happened in Genesis 3. So the finished work of Jesus on the cross. And if you are here today and you are experiencing a broken story right now as you hear me speak, if you are experiencing a broken story and you are in need of transformation, I want to say that God is able to transform. He's able to change. The brokenness in your story doesn't need to define you. The brokenness in our lives, there is an enemy that wants to instill these lies in us and say that the brokenness in our lives is what defines us. The brokenness in my life, in your life, is not what defines us. What defines us is what God did on the cross that day. What defines us is that he brings us back to relationship with him. He reconciles us. Jesus Christ and his death on the cross reconciles us to God. And that's what defines us. We are back to be not only creation of God, humans created by God, but we are now children of this God of the universe. And I was talking to someone this week, and I was saying, do you know one thing about God that is I find so good? It's not only that he reveals himself to us so that we can know him. And if he doesn't reveal himself, there's no way of us knowing him. Because he's too big for us. So he reveals. But the best thing about God is not that he reveals himself so that you know him. Is that he knows us. He knows me. He knows my name. He knows your name. He knows your sin number. He knows everything, every detail about you and I. And he still loves us. He paid the price on the cross so that we could be back, reconciled to him. So if it's for that's you this morning, I want to encourage you. God loves you. He gave his life on the cross for you. He wants you back. And he wants you as part of that story with him. Because he's bringing his kingdom from heaven to earth. That's the story of the Bible is telling. It's not finished yet. He's inviting us to be part of this story. And there is going to be one day when his ultimate purposes in history will be fulfilled through us that he created as his co-laborers and co-agents. And we'll be back when all evil, at the consummation of all things, when all evil will be gone, everything that we see that's broken will be gone. And God's kingdom is going to be on earth as it is in heaven. That's the story of the Bible that I want to remind you this morning. That's the story. When you talk about biblical illiteracy, we need to keep bringing the story of the Bible, because it's this story that gives foundation to our lives. It's this story that causes transformation. It's this story that causes us to grow as individuals. But it's not only a religious book. The Bible is not only a religious book. The Bible is a book where God also gave us and put us in this story so that we can be agents with Him for His kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. And so if I can encourage you today at the end of this sermon to do something, first of all, read your Bible. Read your Bible. Go to the Bible. Go to that treasure. Go, let God speak to you. Let God reveal these principles. Let God form Christ in you through His word. Go to your Bible. Another thing that I encourage you to do, get ready to tell the whole story. Using Christmas to your kids, to your grandchildren, get to tell them the story. Tell them the story of the Bible. Start with redemption, with Christ coming in Jesus, God coming in Christ in Jesus at Christmas. Use that door of Christmas to tell the whole story, and let them watch their eyes, and watch their eyes as you tell the whole story to your kids, to your grandchildren. And the third thing and the last thing, be attentive to what God is doing in His story. I know that the media and the academia, and they will look to history in a certain way these days, right? They will isolate one certain period of time in history, and everything is based on one period, and then there is all these categories that you create because you isolate one period of history. But be attentive to what God is doing in His story. And as we do that, pay attention to where He's asking you to engage with Him. And be a history maker in your marriage, in your family, in your neighborhood, in your community, in your work, through your work, your nation. So I want to leave you today with this message, going back to that idea that you have in your sight there, that the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, is the Word of God. It's God's story for us to flourish as individuals, as societies, as a nation. And as Christians, we are called to participate in that story with God. God is bringing His kingdom from heaven to earth. This history will be consummated at the end, and we at the present are called by God to be part of His story and watch God changing. What through your life and your work and your participation, that history as a history maker with God, watch God change, starting with your life and the lives of those around you and your family and your marriage. There's nothing that's broken that's beyond the reach of this story, God's transforming story. So I want to pray with you to end. I want to ask you to stand up, and then I'll pass the word to Pastor Ralph. Let's stand, and I'm going to pass the word to Pastor Ralph at the end. Lord, we thank You for this opportunity. You and Your word are one and the same. You, Lord, established this story for us to participate in it. Thank You for calling us to be part of this story. From our brokenness, from our sins, You called us to be part of this story. You saved us. You cleansed us. You called us into Your presence. You reconciled us with Yourself. And You called us to participate in this story with You. Lord, may Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. As You taught us to pray, we pray today. May Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. May we see, Lord, not from the perspective of the news that You watch every day, but may we watch You unfold history from the perspective of Your word, Holy Scriptures, the story of God in the Bible. May we look through this lens and see everything that happens around us through this lens. And then, Lord, use us to be history makers with You. Wherever you called us, Lord, whatever is broken around us, wherever there are signs of the fall, help us to bring signs of the kingdom. Your truth, your goodness, your beauty, Lord, to people around us, to our societies, Lord, to our communities. Help us, Lord, to be part of that with you. So we thank you this morning for your word, for your plan, for your story, and for making us part of that story with you. We praise you. We give you glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Nelson. Wow. My heart is full this morning.